Let's get to our NHL insider. Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are well. We caught wind of some really good work.
Is he still away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We told you it'd be a while. There was at least one more visit without him.
Kidding me?
Oh, my God.
How much suntan lotion does that man need, you think? I'm wondering. There's just some surface area there.
Put it this way. I hate to be the person who's responsible for putting it on him.
Okay. We caught wind of this a couple days ago in Vancouver, Elliot, and everyone very happy.
Well, that's why in Toronto he was known as Pretty Boy Walker.
That's not true. I've never been known as that.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Glad to help out where I can.
Now,
makes us very happy here.
That's the good news and the thank you, but we do, it's gone on too long. We have to bring something up that you cannot continue to do.
Okay, what's that?
When you tweet, you are using the three-letter short form for Calgary as Cal. Who's Cal? It's CGY, is it not? What's going on here?
You know, I just, as I've admitted before, it's now a little bit of trolling for me. I just did it, and, you know, I think there are people out there who've got way too much time on their hands. They're like, it's CGY, it's whatever it is. I'm like, you know, if you're really worried, I wish my life was so uncomplicated that I could worry about abbreviations people tweet out on Twitter.
I do find it entertaining. It's like a race to who can say it first, right? Oh, no, it's CGY.
And there's one guy who, like, he tweets at me and he says, Bob McKenzie wouldn't do this. And I'm like, whatever. I mean, you think that's going to work? Like, you know what, it's just a fun thing I do. I guess there's a few of them I do that people don't like. They don't like that one. They don't like Montreal.
What do you do for Montreal? Columbus,
M-O-N. And Columbus is C-L-B, and they're like, no, it should be C-B-J. And the other one is Winnipeg. I do W-I-N, and they're like, no, it's W-P-G. And now with L-V, like, oh, this is even the best one. Like, I do L-V. And people are like, are you talking about Lehigh Valley? And I go, yeah, I'm really talking about Lehigh Valley. AHL.
Well, they're technically the Vegas Golden Knights, so you should be VGK, no?
VGK, yes.
Okay.
But you know what? Sometimes your mind processes things a certain way. Like I said, I wish I had so few cares in the world that I would worry about somebody's abbreviations on Twitter.
That and you're a real jerk to people. So oh, that's good.
Well, it's a combination of the two.
We like it when it's Walker. We don't have a problem when it's with him. Flames get a big victory last night, and I felt like a lot of weight was lifted. They got a goal from someone not on their top two lines. Jankowski scored. Bennett got a point. Jágr scored. Rasmus Anderson made his season debut on the back end. A homestand that started with a really ugly 2-1 loss to Dallas on a sleepy Friday night is suddenly to scoring a bit, and I think feeling pretty good.
Well, I think that's what you hope, right? You hope that this is building up a step to something. You got Jankowski scoring, as you mentioned. Just Bennett getting a point. Like, he doesn't have to look at his name now and see donuts. There's something there. Jágr gets a goal, as you guys mentioned. I just think that, you know, the league, it's a hard league. Like, it's a really hard league to be successful in. And when especially when you're young or you get off to a bad start, you need something to give you a feeling like, oh, that's good. Like, this justifies the results of what we're doing. And, you know, I guess it was a good day yesterday because of the Giordano family, and that positive feeling goes all the way up and down your lineup. And, you know, I think if you're Sam Bennett, you're leaving the rink last night with a bit of a smile. If you're Mark Jankowski, you're leaving with a smile. If you're Jágr, you're leaving with a smile. And I think if you're probably the coach and the general manager, you're leaving with a smile. So I just think everybody feels better about themselves today. The toughest thing, as you guys know, is now you got to do it again.
But you always got to keep playing, right? That's
exactly. That's you got to do it again.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I think that it's maybe slightly overlooked because Jágr just came back, was the play of Michael Ferland. He's stepped into that top line, and he's played like he has really made a difference, which allows Jágr to play with Jankowski and Bennett and help them get established, getting some points.
Well, and I agree with that, and that's why I think Ferland is a really important guy to your team. Calgary's identity, and the NHL as a league is really changing right now. You know, there's no fighting anymore. You know, we see so few big hits anymore. But it's still a tough game. And, you know, I think, like, the guys like Ferland, the guys like Tkachuk, like, I think Tkachuk is a huge part of Calgary's identity. I think that he has established himself as a guy who is hard to play against, will drive you crazy, brings it a lot, is not afraid. And I think Ferland has a lot of that in him, too. And that's why the more guys you got have like that, the bigger, like, Gaudreau plays, the bigger Bennett can play, the bigger Monahan plays. And I think they also set a tone. Like, when you're not having a good night, they can do something that changes your mood. Okay, he just woke us up, or he got us going. And I think Ferland is just as important as Tkachuk is to that part of your game. And I agree with you. I think you're a better team, the more effective and energized, and in a lot of ways, edgy and nasty that guy is.
Vegas has gone 1-4-1 since that 8-1 start. It's been an incredible story. It was neat to see them get on a roll at home. The road hasn't been as kind to them. That said, they're down to their fifth goalie, if you consider they put Pickard on waivers and lost him.
Yeah.
What sort of role will they play in the NHL this year, given how many potential rentals they have? And do you see that there is a chance they can stay in this thing until the deadline, which would probably create some dilemmas there?
Well, I know that George McPhee's plan was always to sell. Like, he put out a blueprint to his owner, and that blueprint was, we are going to sell our assets, and we are going to gain more futures, more picks, more prospects, whatever we can get our hands on. You know, that's one of the things I was wondering is, you know, and he sold the owner on that. I think the owner was very much in agreement with that whole idea. But I always wonder, when you get off to that kind of start and you're in the race, and they're still in the race, does the owner say, okay, we stick with the plan, or does the owner say, you know what, we got to go for the playoffs? And I think George McPhee's vote is still sell. I don't think that's changed. I think he's aware of the big picture, and he knows what they should do. But I always wonder, like, what does an owner think? And you know, I will tell you this. I think the rest of the league is sitting there hoping that the answer is sell. You know, James Neal, if they don't keep him, that's going to be one huge bargaining chip at the deadline. I mean, look, two of the guys we were talking about the most were Turris and Duchesne. They're gone now in the same deal. And everybody's kind of looking around and saying, okay, who's next? Well, there's the Vegas guys, and there's John Tavares. And I don't think John Tavares is going anywhere unless, you know, the Islanders feel that they absolutely cannot sign him under any circumstances. And there were some quotes last week out of New York that basically said, you know what, they don't consider the trade deadline a deadline for them on Tavares. And so you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, if he's not there and Vegas is not there, it's really thin. But I still think Vegas's plan, their blueprint, is to sell. And unless somebody changes that because they're in the race, I think that's what they're going to do.
Every week we seem to ask you about Tampa because they continue to pile up wins. Still just two regulation losses. Last night, on the second half of a back-to-back on the other side of the continent against a Kings club that only had two regulation losses with Budaj in net, it was 4-0 before the Kings knew what was happening, it seemed.
Yeah. Yeah, and those goals were not accidents either. You know, they were impressive. And actually, it was at the end of the game last night, I was noticing that John Stevens was really angry because he did a video review that didn't work in his favor, and he's like, what is goaltender interference? They also got burned by it. They tried an offside review, got a penalty, and gave up a goal on it. So it was an all-around bad night for the Kings. You know what? The goals they score, they're at the phase right now where, you know, you score a lot of goals and they look like accidents. Not these guys. Like, every single goal they score seems to be just beautiful, like a piece of work, the nicest thing you've seen in the NHL this week. They're really talented. You know, Stamkos is going, and one of the things about Stamkos is, I think there's a lot of players who root for him. He's a very popular guy. People really like him, and all the injuries he's been through, all the situations he's had, I think people want him to do well, but he's fantastic right now. Kucherov, I mean, the guy might be the best player in the league, but I think the thing that really stands out is I think if anyone, if they doubted anything on Tampa, was their defense and their goaltending. Like, is Vasilevsky going to be able to handle the job? Number one, he looks like he's going to be able to handle the job. And number two, you know, that's Sergachev. He looks like the real deal, and he looks like he's going to be the real deal quickly. And that's a big one for Tampa. There's some people who are looking at them and saying, I had some questions about them. Right now, they look like those questions are answered.
Another team that's answering a lot of questions, the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, they're off to a start that, and really kind of under the radar.
Under the radar because they get doubted a lot. I think, Red, that's a team that kind of beat themselves. They took bad penalties. They made dumb plays. It's amazing. They go out and they get Mason, and Heljovac has stolen the job. I mean, he's the number one guy. He's going to be the number one guy for the foreseeable future. I like the Jets, too. I think they've really put together a lot of pieces, a lot of young pieces. Like, you know, Kyle Connor was a guy who would have been in the NHL for a lot of teams last year, and they had him marinate. They got a lot of the young skill. Like, in a lot of ways, like, you look at Toronto, and Toronto's kind of struggling right now as Babcock tries to change their identity a little bit. They were the team last year we looked at and said, boy, they could really outscore you. I think Winnipeg is that team this year, and they got a lot of guys, and they can really outscore you, too.
Montreal and Edmonton are worth watching, obviously, because, A, the fan bases are crazy, but because they're in interesting predicaments. It's not gone well for the Habs. There was a nice little run there. They got blanked last night, and there would be some intriguing parts to sell there, as you noted, with Turris and Duchesne off the market, you know, who are going to be the rentals, especially if Vegas hangs in. And then the Oilers on the other side, outside of Dreisaitl and McDavid, you don't really have much to count on. I wonder if there's a fit there somehow.
You know, we've kind of wondered about that, and I jokingly threw out, like, Pacioretty to Edmonton a couple of weeks ago. I just said if I was Edmonton, I'd call him Pacioretty. Bergevin has made it very clear. He said that he looked around. Like, he's an active guy. He's calling all the time. He didn't like anything he heard, and I think he knows that if you want to fix your problem, you got to fix it internally. And Edmonton, you know, I wonder if... You know, Toronto's got a couple of, pressing situations is the right word, but, you know, they got a couple of guys who could be NHLers and probably should be NHLers. One is Levo. He's playing a little bit, but he had to play 39 games this year or he becomes non-restricted free agent. And I don't know if he's going to get his 39. In Toronto, it's not like them to let assets just go away like that. Also, they got another situation with Nikita Soshnikov. He has an out to go to the KHL next week. It's on Tuesday. I don't think he wants to do that, but I think what he wants to be is in the NHL. I could see Edmonton swirling around both of those situations. I don't know if anything's going to happen. Like, you have to be able to make a deal. But I could see Edmonton kind of kicking around those two situations with Toronto and saying, you know, we wouldn't mind giving, you know, either of those guys a shot. I think a lot of teams look at those two guys and say, I don't know how good they are at the NHL level, but they think they're NHL players. So I think teams would give those kinds of guys a shot.
Matthews, Nylander, and Marner all need deals in the next two off seasons. Does that mean James Van Riemsdyk is going to get moved here or will expire? What are the chances of him moving versus staying?
I think they're going to try to sign him. I really do. I think he really likes it in Toronto, and I think they're trying to find ways. Like, you know, remember last year, like what happened with Oshie? Like, we all thought he was gone, and they gave him term for a little less money or average annual value, I guess. And I kind of wonder if that's what Van Riemsdyk and the Leafs will try there. I think, you know, he really likes it there. He's very happy there. He handles it well. At the very least, I think they're going to try and see if there's a fit. You know, there's a lot of people here who wonder about Marner. He doesn't appear to be a Babcock favorite. You know, the other night without Matthews, he had a really good first period, but the whole team couldn't sustain it. I think Marner's the guy a lot of us are watching just to see, you know, what's his future going to be in this city.
The Senators make the move late last week. But in the 30 thoughts, it says that there's still a lot of scouts going to Senators games. Are we expecting the Senators to not necessarily be done just yet?
Well, I saw some quotes from Pierre Dorion in Sweden where he kind of hinted that, you know, that they might not be done. And I guess Nick Paul's name is starting to get out around there. I heard that. I saw some notes about that. Look, they're all in the next 2 years. You know, they're going to have some big decisions to make. They've got five major decisions to make. And you could argue that Erik Karlsson is number 1 through 5 and everybody else is playing for second place, and that's true. But you're going to have to make Karlsson by the end of next year. You're going to have to make Duchene by the end of next year. You're going to have to make Brassard by the end of next year. And then you're going to have to decide on CeCe and Stone by the end of this year. And those guys are restricted free agents. And, you know, those two guys are really important to what they do. And so I think, you know, Ottawa's going to have to make some big decisions. You know, Eugene Melnyk is a budget guy. He runs a tight ship. And I think that you're looking at an Ottawa team that's all in for the next 2 years, guys. So if you were to tell me they were looking for something else, it wouldn't surprise me.
Already some focus on Sweden. What about the Karjala Cup, where we will, I guess, something as close to Olympic tryouts as the Canadian national team would have, correct?
Yeah, and they won their opener. You know, the other thing that's interesting here is it's not getting a ton of traction in North America yet because we've got our own stuff to focus on. But this whole thing with Russia and the KHL, it's interesting. Like, if they ban the Russians from competing under the flag, or they ban the Russian hockey team from going, that's going to screw up everything else, because then the KHL is going to say the players can't go. So, you know, that's where a lot of the Canadian players are going to come from. It's interesting. I mean, I can't see an Olympics without Russia. At the end of the day, I think these are all about money, and you're going to miss a lot of money if Russia's not there. And, you know, but it's a weird time. And, you know, I like, you know, the other thing, too, is we've got no clarity yet on the CHL players. And, you know, there's two NCAA guys there, and one of them, Whitecloud, got an assist in Canada's first game. So there's a lot of good storylines coming out of there, but the weirdest one is the KHL one. I can't imagine they'll have the guts to actually ban Russia, though.
Finally, tomorrow, what are you working on, and line the slate up for us?
Well, we've got, you know, it's the Hall of Fame weekend with the inductions on Monday night, and one of my favorite pieces of the year is actually Ron is doing something with all the Hall of Famers come in, you know, Solani, Kariya, Andrichuk, and Daniel Goyette, and Recky and Daniel Goyette as well are coming into the studio, and Ron does a big interview with all of them, and I like watching that. That'll air in the pregame. They've got a piece on Paul Kariya that is pretty good, and one of the things I really like about the piece is they got Scott Stevens to talk about it. And that was something that Scott Stevens did not like talking about for some time. So I thought it was really interesting that, you know, he agreed to talk about it. And then, you know, I think for the rest of the show, like the hot stove and stuff like that, guys, I think one of the things we're trying to determine now is now that two of the biggest trade names are off the board, you know, who's next? You know, who are the players that everybody's going to be focusing on saying, okay, if we need some offense, this is the guy we're going to get.
All right. Well, keep your collar tucked in, and we wish you the best. We'll be watching, and we'll chat next week. Maybe with Boom even.
My teammates are better than walkers. They look out for us.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.